A joy. If you have your Bibles, please turn them to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. The past couple weeks, I've been starting a new series about the disciple Peter. And really starting from the beginning of Peter's ministry, he definitely had a lot of growing to do. He was kind of in the stages of where I am right now, really growing and learning what it means to be a youth director, learning what it means to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And obviously, the apostle Peter, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, somebody who you wouldn't think would be a disciple. Out of all the people that Jesus could have chosen, he chose a bunch of fishermen. He chose Peter as a fisherman, a man that you wouldn't think that he would have chose. Yeah, I get an amen. I know we got lots of fishermen in here. Yeah, well, why wouldn't he pick a fisherman? So he chose a fisherman. He chose a man that you wouldn't think you would have thought he would have chosen. Some scholars, which he did, and he really had a variety of different people that he chose. But tonight, we're going to be looking at the obedience of a disciple. So there in Luke chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 all throughout tonight. But right now, we're going to start in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. We're kind of introduced to a challenge that the apostle Peter had. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing there by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." So Jesus was there. He was teaching a bunch of people. He was preaching, giving a lesson to a lot of people. And he realized that, you know what, my voice isn't getting as far as I would like to. And he sees the ship over there. He sees the apostle Peter, one of the fishermen, was there cleaning his nets. He had just gone through a long night of catching absolutely nothing. It was a hard, long night for him. He didn't catch anything. He sees him over there washing his nets. And he has that idea, okay, if I get out a little bit further, if I get a little bit further away, these people are going to be able to hear me better. And so that's what he did. He goes onto that ship. I don't know how he asked Peter, if he asked Peter, if he just jumped on the ship and Peter's like, what's this guy doing? What's he doing? What's he thinking? I don't know what he did exactly, but he goes on that ship. He goes out a little way. He tells him to thrust out a little way from the shore so that he can teach and finish his lesson. And that's exactly what he does. And he gets there. He finishes his lesson to the crowd, but really, this is where the true lesson begins. When he finishes with the crowd, when he dismisses, when they leave, he has a very small group of men that would eventually become his disciples, and he taught them a lesson on obedience through one of those miracles that he had there. He told them to launch out into the deep. Right now, they're just a little bit of ways from shore. They weren't too far, but after he gets done teaching those people, he said, thrust out into the deep. And that's Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, so when he had finished his message, he said unto Simon, which is Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And like I said, Peter had returned from a long night of fishing. He was exhausted. He was tired. He caught absolutely nothing. And he was a fisherman. This is how they make their money. This is how they make their living. And that would be a tiring night. It would be an exhausting night, and it would be a discouraging night. The last thing that Peter wanted to do right then was to launch out in the deep, was to go further out. He says, grab all your stuff and launch out into the deep. I'm sure Peter didn't make any sense to him. Why would you want me to launch out into the deep? Jesus, we've been out all night. We've caught absolutely nothing. There's just no fish there. This isn't the time for the fish to be out. It's in the middle of the day. The fish aren't going to be out. They'll be out during the early morning, the late night, but they're not going to be out in the middle of the day. But Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. You see, when he did this, it's kind of like a person. He had just finished cleaning up all of his nets. It was all done. That's the most exhausting job. The worst part about fishing is after you get done. Cleaning up all the nets, cleaning up the gear, cleaning up the boat. That's the absolute worst part. It's kind of like, and what Jesus did here, it's kind of like that person when you get done washing all of your dishes. You finally get done with the dishes. And there's always somebody that comes in with one last dirty dish. Like they forgot that they had eaten or something. And they're like, oh, wait, I forgot this last dirty dish. You just finished cleaning all of the dishes. It's all drained out. And you're like, great. Now I have to restart this whole process all over again. And that was exactly what Jesus told Peter to do. Bring your nets and let them down. Great. I'm going to have to clean them all over again. I have to do all this again. It's useless. It's hopeless. We caught nothing. But Jesus told them, hey, launch out into the deep and let down the nets. And this would take time. It would take effort. Sometimes we wonder, why would Jesus do this? I mean, after all, he can do anything. Why wouldn't he just tell the fish to come close to the shore? Why couldn't he just be right next to him right there and just have the fish jump into the boat for all we know? Obviously, he can do everything. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17, it says, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thine arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Yes, of course, Jesus could have had the fish come closer to shore, but that wouldn't have taught Peter a lesson in obedience and full obedience, even though sometimes it doesn't make any sense to us, humanly speaking. He was going to test Peter's obedience to see if he would be a man that he would want to call his disciple. Not only did Jesus tell Peter to launch out into the deep that would take effort, but he told him to let down his nets. So there was a challenge. He had been fishing all night. He caught absolutely nothing. Then there was the conflict that he had to let down his nets. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, once again, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, our problem here tonight for most of us isn't understanding that we should obey God's commands. It's not God's commands that is the problem, but it's how slow we are to respond to God's commands. That's what happened to Peter. Yes, he knew that he was supposed to obey this man. I don't know if he heard about Jesus before, but he was kind of skeptical. He wasn't too sure when it talks about, no, nevertheless, it doesn't make any sense to me. Nevertheless, I'll do it just to get you off of my back, probably is what he was thinking. Just to get you off of my boat, get you off my back, I'll launch it into, I'll cast out my net, and we'll just see what happens. You see, that was God's command, but he was slow to trust and to obey those commands. It's just like us. We have a flesh. We have a flesh that sometimes doesn't understand spiritual things. A flesh that doesn't always want to obey God fully and right away with a good attitude. See, Peter's first reaction was, we've toiled all night. And this wasn't that instant obedience that Jesus was looking for, that Jesus was wanting. It was a kind of a struggle with that conflict that Peter had. And Paul talks about this constant struggle between the flesh and the spirit multiple times in the Bible, but in particular, in Romans chapter 7, in verse 19, Apostle Paul talks about his personal struggle with the flesh and the spirit. Romans chapter 7, in verse 19, it says, for the good that I would, I do not. So the things that I want to do, that good that I know that I should do, I don't do. But the evil which I would not, those things that I don't want to do, those evil things that I know are wrong, are wicked, those are the things that I end up doing. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See, Paul, like many of us in here tonight, we have that desire to serve God. We want to serve Jesus with our life. But yet, sometimes, and almost it seems like many times in our life, the flesh wins out. The flesh wins. It overpowers the spirit that we have living inside us if you're a Christian here tonight. Those things that we don't want to do, those seem to be the things that we do most often. See, Jesus told Peter to cast out those nets. Even though he was skeptical, he was no amateur fisherman. He knew that the fish weren't out that night. He had been out all night. He knew that the fish weren't there. Humanly speaking, the fish weren't there. It didn't make any sense. He was skeptical. He was no amateur fisherman, but he didn't fully just believe in God. You see, if he wouldn't have cast out those nets, though, yes, he did end up casting out a net, and that was when he was able to see the blessings that God was going to have for his life. Yes, skeptical. Yes, it took him a while to get to the point where he actually cast that net in the water, but he finally did. He finally cast that net into the water, and he was definitely thankful that he did. He was able to see a miracle performed. See, many of us give up in life before we're able to see what God can really do with us. We give up before our ministry even starts. We think, well, I'm not very good at speaking to people. Going to door to door is just not really my thing. I'm not very sociable. I just can't go up to people and just start talking to them. I'm going to just go blank. I'm going to be like Thomas up there saying his verse. I say John 3:16 and I don't know where I'm at, what I'm talking about. I'm just going to go blank. I'm not going to get it. And we have all those things in our mind, and yet we don't even have the chance to see what God can do. We don't even cast that net out to see what God can do in our life, what God can perform in our life. See, thankfully, we have a lot of different illustrations and different examples of people. One in particular tonight that I'm going to be talking about is Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson, a missionary that we all know, that we've heard of before. And, you know, his life, it wasn't easy. Adoniram Judson's life wasn't easy. He was in Burma for 6 years. And at that point when he got there, I believe it was 1916, when he got there, there was no known Christians on the island. Zero. None. Nobody on that island knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God laid it on Adoniram Judson's heart to go. That's the place where I want you to go. Go to this place, go to this island that they have no recollection. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. No one on there is a self-proclaimed Christian, but he had that burden on his heart. The Lord laid that burden on Adoniram Judson's heart. He had that call on his life. It wasn't easy. We see the end of his story. Yes, he had some great outcomes, but many times the things that we don't look at is the many times that he, I mean, to be honest with you, if I was Adoniram Judson, I would have packed up and left. It was a whole 6 years. He was there for six whole years working, striving to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and no converts. And not only was there no converts, but he went through a lot of struggles in that 6 years. You see, he was put in jail for most of that time. He finally got released after a couple years. And as soon as he got released, his wife, Anne, she died while on the field. And you would have thought he would have just given up. I spent six whole years here and nothing's happening. I've thrown out the net. I've seen what Jesus Christ can do, and it's nothing. He couldn't do anything. I've been here for 6 years toiling and striving to see something happen, and nothing has happened. My wife has died. If he was me, I would have just given up and come back, to be honest with you. And I feel like many of us would have as well. And for most of us, we wouldn't blame the person. We don't blame Adoniram Judson. After all those years, after all that striving to see people saved and not saved, you wouldn't really blame him. But yet, he kept on going. He kept on striving to see those people get saved. And at the end of his time there in Burma, there was an estimated to be over, the government took a survey, and it was estimated that there's over 250,000 Burmese people that were saved because of his ministry. That's one in every 58 Burmese people were self-proclaiming Christians after his ministry there. Wow. It took some time. Yes, it did. Yes, it took a lot of striving. It took a lot of throwing those nets out to see what the Lord can do. But you know what? The Lord finally came and he showed him what he is capable of doing. That's what the Lord did in Adoniram Judson's life. But many of us in this room here tonight, sorry to say it, but many of us give up before we even cast that net out, before we even see what the Lord can do in our life. Edmund Burke once said, never despair, but if you do, work on in despair. It's going to be some discouraging times in our life. I mean, this past year was just an example of it. Yes, the youth group, the numbers went down. I lost a bunch of kids. A lot of kids aren't coming back. I visited their house, and for whatever reason, they aren't coming back. And as we see, our bus numbers are down from what they used to be. Yes, and it's discouraging. Yes, it's hard, but yet, like this verse says, never despair. But if you do, hey, keep on working on in that despair. Let Adoniram and Judson be our a person that we can look up to. All that trials and struggles and depressing times that he went through, he kept on working. He kept on striving to see and kept on doing the Lord's will for his life, no matter what. You see, when we face discouragement in this Christian life, we feel like what we're doing doesn't really actually make a difference. We feel like what we're doing doesn't really make a difference. And I know if you're a Sunday school teacher in here, if you're a pastor in here, if you have worked in any kind of ministry, you'll understand sometimes there are times when it just doesn't seem like you're getting through. Some teenager runs off and does something that you know is not approved of, and you know you feel responsible for it. Oh, I didn't do something right. What was it that I did wrong? And they can be some depressing, hard times when you see that happen, but the Bible assures us that even though, as long as we know we're doing what he wants us to be doing in the good times and in the bad times, we know that our work is not in vain. The Bible assures us that that work that we're doing for the Lord really does count. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That means always in the good times and in the bad times. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That labor that we do for him is never going to be in vain. The numbers might not be there like they used to, but that labor is not in vain. You're still bringing in people to know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. These bus captains are still bringing in kids, that 55 kids that wouldn't be here otherwise. 55 souls that who knows who or what these kids can be one day. Who knows? One of these kids might start a church. One of these kids may be missionaries. It's not just necessarily the one, but you're thinking about that one kid that can change his household. Maybe his parents can come. And it just expands and expands and expands. Who knows what the Lord can do with those 55 souls that we have on the bus. You see, even though Adoniram Judson wasn't getting those results that he anticipated, those results that he wanted, that he was longing for, he knew that serving the Lord was not in vain. And see, he was able to see that investment pay off. And it really did. His investment paid off in serving Christ. The third point that we have here tonight is Peter's confession. Peter's confession. You see, Peter was only partially obedient. We see in these verses that Peter was only partially obedient what Jesus Christ told him to do. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 4, Jesus specifically asked Peter to launch out, to cast out multiple nets, plural. Launch out multiple nets. But sadly, Peter, he only cast out one measly net. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets," plural, "for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I'll let down one net. See, Christ commanded Peter to not only let down that one net, but to let down multiple. Don't stop with that one. Let down multiple nets for a draught. The word draught there in Greek, it means a haul of fish or a whole bunch, a multitude of fish. Peter was promising that if he was to let down his nets, he would see a great return on casting those out. If he was to let down those nets, he would pull them back up full of fish. But sadly, because Peter was still a little on edge of who this guy was, what he can do, he only cast out that one net. And obviously, we know the end of the story. He definitely wished he would have cast out more than that one net, for sure. Luke chapter 5 and verse 6, we're told that Peter caught so many fish that his net literally broke. Luke chapter 5 and verse 6. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break." What a sight this would have been. I am not a great fisherman. Whenever I go, I hardly catch anything. The only time I go, whenever I go fishing, I like to catch fish. I don't like to fish. I like to catch fish. That's what I like to do. One time we were up in Canada and we went to this fish farm. So if you know a fish farm, they breed the fish as dumb as they can get. And then you cast a line in there. It's literally, we had a long stick. It's about 8 feet high. You got a line that's about 10 foot long. You put a piece of bread on there. You cast it in. 2 seconds later, you'll have a fish on the line. They breed them as dumb as they can get. You're catching fish all day. You think it's great. The fish come out, they're as ugly as sin, they're a nasty old catfish, but you think it's cool, like I'm catching fish, I thought it was awesome, I thought it was great, I'm catching all these fish, and yet that was exactly what these men experienced. When they cast out that net, they caught so many fish, it was something that they have never experienced in their life. This is a fisherman's dream, this is like something that Mr. Nick, you dream about. Like this is beyond your wildest imagination, all the fishermen in this room, this is beyond your wildest dreams, catching all of these fish, so much that the nets actually break. So obviously he calls to that fisherman, hey, come over here, hey, we got all this fish, come, this is how they make their living. That they see how much money that they're able to make. They see what the Lord had done. In Luke chapter 5, verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This was definitely a sight to see. They had caught so many fish that their boats began to sink. I don't know how many fish they must have had on that boat, but it must have been a crazy amount. They literally caught so many fish that their boats began to sink. What an unbelievable thing that was, and what an unbelievable sight that must have been. But you see, the sad part of all of this was that Peter, if you would have obeyed God and cast out every net, cast out all the nets that he had, he could have got even more fish. Maybe his net wouldn't have broke if he would have cast out all of those nets. You see, when we only partially obey God, many, many times some of us, we have to be prodded to obey God, and we obey God eventually, but it's not with a good attitude. It's not necessarily exactly what he wants us to do. We kind of do it out of duty, not really because we really want to serve the Lord. When we do that, who knows on those blessings that we're missing out in life, those nets that we're holding back in the ship and saying, you know, I should be joining the bus ministry. I should be doing, and it could even be something simple. It doesn't have to be a ministry that gets lots of recognition. Obviously, when you're a Sunday school teacher, when you're on the pastoral staff, when you're one of those people, it seems like that's a position that lots of people want to be in. They're like, you know, that's the position that gets a lot of recognition. And yet, you know, we have bus workers. We have even this past week at Bob Rose's funeral, there's more people in this church, I believe, from Bob and Marilyn Rose, of their hospitality, than just about any other ministry here. And they have probably brought more people in, and that was their net. That was their ministry. That was their thing, that they could join hands with the church and do that, to see people come in. And ultimately, so they can hear the word of God, they can hear the gospel. And many people are here today in this room right now because of a part that seemingly small, something different, not anything to do with being a Sunday school teacher or preacher, none of that, but just a simple act of kindness, a simple act of hospitality. And there's people in here tonight because of that simple act of kindness. Imagine what this church could do, how much more this church can do. Find that ministry. Find that little niche that you can fit in. Obviously, God gives us different gifts. Not everyone in here is going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everyone in here is good at working with kids. But even a couple weeks ago, even right before Faye Johnston, she left. I think she's watching too. Hello, Miss Faye. She was helping Wendy Stone pack up tracks, putting the tracks in packs of 50. That's a ministry. It really is. Using those rubber bands, packing up those tracks, that's a ministry. And imagine if everyone in this room joins hands, whether it's big or whether it's small, no matter what ministry you're involved in, but you're involved in something. You're casting out a net to bring other people in. You see, imagine if Peter would have cast out more of those nets. Imagine how much more fish he could have caught. You see, Pastor Lytle has been doing a new podcast recently. If you haven't listened to it, it's really good. It's called Wisdom for Your Walk. And one of the ones that he's done recently was called The Dangers of Backsliding. The Dangers of Backsliding. And one of his dangers of backsliding is exactly this point. The blessings that you miss out on in those 10 years. People, when they go through backsliding, they're like, well, I'm going to go out, live my life for 5, 10, 15 years. He gives some examples that did just that. They come into his office and say, hey, I'm just going to give up on Jesus for a little bit of time and just have a little bit of fun and just see what happens. But I still love him. I'll be back in a couple years. And then obviously they never come back. And imagine those blessings that they missed out on. Those people that they could have witnessed to. The lives they could have changed in that amount of time that they're away. See, that's one of the dangers of backsliding. That's one of the dangers of not being involved in a ministry. Those blessings that you're missing out on in your life. See, thankfully, Peter realized what he did was wrong. Peter realized who Jesus was after he had seen those miracles. He realized who Jesus was, and he asked for forgiveness. He was humble. He came to a point of humility. See, after Peter had realized what Jesus had done, who Jesus really was, he fell down at his feet and said, Jesus, I'm not worthy to even be in your presence. He took a complete 180, a rough fisherman, a man that's been a fisherman probably for his whole life. I'm sure his father was a fisherman. Actually, his father was a fisherman. His whole family, they were all fishermen. And he was a rough guy, tough guy, working a hard manual labor job. And all of a sudden, he takes a complete 180. He was humble. A rough fisherman became humble in the presence of Jesus Christ and who he really was. You see, when we see the Lord as who he is, we really are looking in a mirror and we get to see ourselves as who we really are. Many times we obviously compare ourselves among each other. Well, I'm better than this person. Well, I'm doing more ministries than so-and-so. And we look at that, we're like, you know, I'm pretty good off. And Peter probably thought he wasn't a bad person. Well, I'm not too bad. I mean, I'm better than some of the other fishermen. I'm not that bad of a guy. But when he saw Jesus and who he really was, that's when he completely fell down and begged God to forgive him of who he was. And he says, hey, I'm a sinful man. You see, when we see the Lord as who he is, we see ourselves as who we are. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble, which is the important part, to receive the spirit of the humble and to receive the hearts of the contrite one. And also in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. See, Peter was humble, which led him to bow down to Jesus Christ and understand who he really was. Bow down at Jesus' feet and say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He understood who he really was. He saw himself in the mirror and understand he was a sinful man. See, when we fail to do God's plan, obey God's plan fully, this is what our reaction needs to be. Come back to Jesus Christ. Humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness. Beg for that forgiveness, and Jesus Christ will forgive you, and he will forgive you wholly and completely. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Also in Luke 14, verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself, whosoever lifts himself up with pride shall be abased or be knocked down, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Jesus Christ is there waiting to forgive us. When was the last time we've done this? I know the Christian life isn't always every day you're going to be living in the Spirit. It's not how it is. But what's important is that you realize And when you realize you're not doing the Lord's will, you realize that you're not doing what he commands you to do, you come back, humble yourself, ask for that forgiveness, and come back to him, exactly like Peter did, humbled, comes back to Jesus. So how about you here tonight? Do you see yourself in the life of Peter? I know I definitely do. I struggle with sometimes fully obeying God. When he asks me and tells me to do something that I'm uncomfortable with, something that I think is crazy, something I don't think is going to work, I sometimes doubt him, sometimes skeptical of him. I'll put half my effort into it, half my time into something, because I feel like it's not going to make a difference. I know I'm definitely sometimes like Peter. But hopefully when we see ourselves as who we are, when we see that sin in our life, when we see that we're not going all out, we're not casting all of our nets out for Jesus, that we will ask for that forgiveness. We pray that he would forgive us. See, Peter could have been blessed with many more fish, but he refused to let down all those nets. How about you? Are you actively involved in a ministry? It could be a ministry of calling other people that are sick. Could be a ministry of hospitality. Bob Rose isn't here anymore. Who's going to pick that up, like Pastor Lytell said? Who's going to pick up that ministry? Who's going to pick up all these ministries that we have, whether it's big or whether it's small? We need to have as many nets in the water so that we can actively pull out as many people as we can from this world of sin. Where's our nets at? Are all of our nets in the water? Jesus Christ calls us to cast out our nets. Will you? Let's pray. Dear Lords, I just want to thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to come up here and preach. I pray that it would have made even just a few people in this room may have got something from it and then would change something. Obviously, hearing a message is great. Being where you're supposed to be is good, but it's really useless if they don't take it and apply it to their lives. Like our verse says in the back, blessed are they that hear the word of God, but the most important part is, and they keep it. Not only just hearing it, but keeping it, Lord. I pray you'd just be with me. Forgive me of where I haven't fully trusted you. Forgive me of those times where I doubted you and what you could do. I put half effort into something. I can cast out some nets because I think it would be useless. I've been fishing all night. I've been doing this all the time, and it's useless. It's hopeless. It's not going to work. Lord, help us not to pull back in those nets before we see a miracle, Lord. I pray that we would pray for that. Be actively involved in a ministry here at this church, whether it's being a Sunday school teacher, whether it's being a bus worker, whether it's helping clean up after Sunday night. It could be anything, Lord. Help us to actively involve in serving you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.